From the Roundabout Studios in the Motor City, I'm Craig Cole.
I'm Eric Tritko.
From Knoxville, Tennessee, I'm Zach Bowman.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, Episode 9, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Like old men combing the beach with metal detectors, every week we scour the internet in search of a cohesive, zen-like theme. We find all kinds of different topics and news bites to fit that theme, however sand-covered or scantily clad they may be. And whatever's left over, well, we grope at it anyway. I mean, we talk about it anyway, because if we didn't, who would? So welcome, everyone, to episode number 9 of Roundabout. We're nearly into double digits. Joining me in the studio right now, Mr. Eric Tritko. Thank you for making the trip from Dearborn, Michigan.
Oh, it's good to be here once again.
Yeah, yeah. And joining us via Skype is, of course, Zach Bowman. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing well. Glad it's Friday, at least for right now, not when the podcast comes out. But it's Friday now, and I'm thrilled about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is... Well, that's all we've got for this week. Quite the skeleton crew. So we'll see what we can do.
Our resident cougar is out on a job getting paid.
Making money or something? I mean, street walking? I don't know.
Crazy talk.
Yeah, and what happened to the other guy? Oh, yeah, Jeff.
He's probably down there in Florida wrestling some gators.
No, I think he hit something in Atlanta, he said. But
maybe he's wrestling a cougar.
Well, the only reason he said that, so he had an excuse to play that sound effect, you know.
No.
What about Banofsky? What's he up to these days?
I think he claims Friday's his date night, but I think it's just his date night with his cats.
That's right. That's not true. We all know that's not true.
Creepy. Doesn't get any better. All right, so we've got a bunch of stories here. Some interesting stuff that all fit in with the theme. And this week's theme is trying too hard. Careful! You're going to blow out a blood vessel. That's right. We've got a collection of stories, some of which companies or people, maybe they're trying a little too hard. The first one we've got is courtesy of Autoblog. And in case you've been living under a rock or something and you haven't heard that Chrysler had a gigantic, like, marathon 9-hour press conference, they did.
What did the auto extremists call it? The Bataan Death March?
Yes. Peter DiLorenzo coined it that, I guess.
Yes.
They invited hundreds of members of the media to Auburn Hills, to their headquarters.
Except me.
Well, I said media, not hacks. And...
Sorry, Eric, I wasn't invited either. So it worked out.
So, invited all these people for what boiled down to a dog and pony show for the most part, trying to get everybody up to speed on where the company was and where they hoped to go.
I would have just leadership. Been there for the free food and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah, free bottled water.
What confused me was, they were supposed to be laying out their 5-year plan, and I'm not sure anybody really thinks that Chrysler's going to be around for the next 5 years.
The 5-year plan or the five year presentation?
Well, isn't that what the Soviet Union used to do? Lay out their 5-year plan?
Da Comrade.
So it's kind of odd they called it that.
They have lots of missiles.
In Italy, they tend to be very socialist. In fact, the city of Milan. The mayor, I don't know if it's this way anymore, but the mayor of Milan has often been a member of the Communist Party. So,
who knew? But yeah, 5-year plan, interesting name for it. But anyway, the story is about Chrysler. One of the tidbits, I think this came out before the press conference, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but it was rumored that they were coming out with a new logo, which is kind of odd. You don't, automakers don't often just up and replace their emblem. So they're following the same basic look to the logo in the shot that we've got here, and it kind of looks like an Aston Martin logo, very very wing like. What do you think of it, Eric? Do you like it?
It was funny because as soon as I saw it before I saw everyone else commenting, I'm like, oh, that looks very Aston Martin. I know they want to move Chrysler up market and make a luxury brand, but that might be pushing it just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Zach? Any thoughts?
It strikes me like you know, most of the Chrysler brand does right now. Just very, you know, we don't really have the money to do anything too special, so we're just going to try and pull this crap off and hope nobody notices.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You know? I mean, it's
a luxury bland feud. I like that.
But yeah, it's pretty similar to their previous current logo, which is kind of winged, but it's got that circular, like, what is it, ribbon in the middle?
Yeah, like from the, I think that's from one of the original,
like, 4-H Chrysler fair or something.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot someone had the actual evolution of the Chrysler logo since the beginning, and that mm-hmm. been off and on in there for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like that one, a little nostalgia.
No Mud Monster, please. We don't need to have that song playing in our heads. Thank you very much. Those of you who don't know, I think it was Mr. Banofsky put together a little spoof video of the new Ram commercial with this song that if you hear
I
it...
I am the Ram.
Yes.
I am the Ram.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
It was really good, huh?
It will stick in your head worse than the worst Britney Spears song ever if you're not careful. So,
well, we best not play it then.
No.
So, okay. Moving forward, now that Chrysler's owned by Fiat, maybe they're trying a little too hard with their new or allegedly new logo. But we'll see if it makes it.
Well, here's the thing, though, with that four point type font,
mm-hmm.
are they just trying to have a thing and not let anyone know that it is a Chrysler? Is that the idea?
Could be it.
It's like the Genesis not having a Hyundai badge on its nose.
And the Genesis, you know, the weirdest thing about, the Equus. That's a whole other story. You know that gigantic ornament thing it has, that mm-hmm. antler rack on the hood?
Right.
That's like not anything, though. It's like wings, kind of, but bizarre. And then, like, on the actual badge on the trunk lid for the Equus, it has, like, Times New Roman font. It's got serifs. It's like, why? I've never seen that on a car, ever.
They're striking out, man.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying something new, or somebody screwed up with the font. I don't know. But yeah, Chrysler, maybe they'll have a new logo. We'll have to see, though. Our next story, fitting into our trying too hard theme, has to do with an old favorite of the 80s. Isn't that right, Zach?
That's right, man. I love this thing.
Do you?
Yeah. Come on, Smokey and the Bandit. Nobody? Yep. Nothing? At all?
Huh? What?
All right, so I guess the basic premise here is, you know, cars culled from SEMA, and mm-hmm. a lot of people are mourning the loss of Pontiac, and two builders, I guess, came out with body kits for the 2010 Camaro that would make it a Pontiac Trans Am. And the one everybody else seems to find repulsive is called the Bandit, and it's got the big screaming chicken on the hood with the shaker hood, and it's black and gold, and it's just like the one the Bandit drove and Smokey and the Bandit, and, well, with the exception of the CB antenna, but it's still awesome.
What is worse than putting, like, a 4-foot-wide golden bird on the hood of your car? I awful looking. Awful.
What do you mean worse? I mean,
I know it's harkening back to the 80s, those glory days of mullets.
Yeah.
And 8-tracks or
that's really the 70s.
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah, it was late 70s.
But, and then what does it have, gold wheels too?
Yeah, they're gold, like.
Okay, I appreciate that they're trying to color coordinate.
Well,
things,
no,
but
it's more that they're trying to replicate the original honeycomb style 15-inch rims from back in the 70s.
15s?
Which, again, is awesome. Come on.
Well, I'm sure those are 20s, but on the original car. See, most cars, remember, in the 70s.
Yeah, bring me up to speed.
In the 70s, yeah, I know, because you were like, what, zero?
I wasn't born yet.
Yeah. In the 70s, it was a big thing for American cars to have 15-inch wheels. You know, 14-inch wheels, ooh, you were really stepping up in the world, you know.
But 15s were...
15s were a big deal.
You'd arrived.
Yes.
That was like...
Only European car. No, I don't even think European cars actually had 16-inch wheels back in the, wow. in the 70s. So.
And if you were really hot shit, you had 15-inch alloy wheels,
yes.
not 15-inch steel wheels.
Oh.
With cap.
And if you were a Euro snob, you actually had the BBS wheels.
That's right.
Lightweight. Wow.
ZBMWs.
Yes.
Well. So,
but
yeah,
anyway,
check out that new Trans Am reborn.
Well, all right. So I like the black one, and I think that, see, Lingenfelter also came out with it. I guess I'm pronouncing that horribly wrong. But
nope, Lingenfelter, that's right.
That's right, all right. So they brought along a similar product, only this one was supposed to mimic the, what would that be, Eric, like 69, I guess?
70.
70, okay. 70 Trans Am with the more rounded sort of fascia, and it just looks like a fiberglass disaster to me. Like, it's very blocky in the front.
Yep.
I
guess the thing is that the reason I like the Lingenfelter one better is I always liked the blue and white on the Trans Ams, and I always did prefer, like, the of the second generation F-body. I liked up to 72, I think it was. Actually, through 74, I think the front end was okay, and then after that they got all funky and stuff with it, but...
I agree with you. I think the original car was, you know, like you said, 69 to 71-ish were definitely more attractive than what came after. But I think as far as the design, I mean, the grille and the headlights are so sunken in, it makes the car just looks like mentally slow.
It's a mouth breather.
It almost has an Oldsmobile look to it with exactly. The way the grille is and the lights. I can understand that, but it probably has more to do with the paint job than it does anything else.
Probably
for me. So
for me, I don't really like white cars. The only vehicle I would ever buy in white would be like a Ford GT with the blue racing stripes. That's about the only car that I like in white. So that's the first strike against it for me. The second thing is the front end is blocky, like you said, Zach, and it just does not flow with the rest of the body, to my eye.
Yeah.
Now, I'm no designer, but I don't particularly care for this squared-off, boxy front end, and then the rest of the car is so sleek and kind of angular, you know?
I mean, when I saw the first renderings or the drawings, the sketches that they did, I was super stoked. I mean, it looked really good.
Yep.
But the execution and just seeing the pictures from, you know, in-person view is pretty painful. I like the rear end. The rear end's pretty sharp with the, you know, bar taillights and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
It kind of reminds me of a Viper from the back, but
since,
a little bit.
Since we're talking about rebodied cars, I know it's not on the list, but did you see the, who's the drift guy who has the all-carbon fiber Mustang?
Gittin Jr.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you.
Basically, yeah, I think everything but the roof and the quarter panels is carbon fiber. And for a mere $135,000, you too can have one.
Is that all? Well, speaking of price.
I'm sorry.
The Bandit Trans Am we were talking about, the black one with the gold chicken on there, you can have it, $85,000. Including the price of the Camaro SS you have to buy for them to butcher. So you can have your Trans Am.
So really that's only like, what, 50-something?
35... About 35 for a Camaro SS.
It's about like 54. That's not bad.
So there you go. Are you going to buy one of these, Zach?
Probably not, no. I'm comfortable with the size of my man equipment, and I don't wear a mullet, so probably won't be picking one of those up anytime soon.
And you don't
soon.
Drink natural light.
Nor do I drink Natty Light.
Right. So. Well, fair enough. So moving right along, keeping our trying too hard theme alive and well, we've got a story that comes from Detroit. So you found this one, Zach. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it, where you ran across it and why?
I did. Well, this is, the story originates straight from America's land of prosper, Detroit.
The great cornucopia of Detroit.
That's right. America's bank is what that is. So evidently, in the old Packard plant in Detroit, which is abandoned,
They have like commercial buildings in there? Like you can rent spaces or something, I thought?
Not in that part of it.
No.
I seriously hope not.
Well, there's the one you always see from 75 when you're going down to Detroit.
That's not part of the Packard plant.
That's not?
So, Michigan's doing a lot worse than anyone.
It's the Howard Industrial, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but that's...
Okay, I thought that was the Packard plant.
No. Packard plant's a couple blocks in from there.
I guess this is the fourth floor, okay, and they have floor-to-ceiling windows and...
or open or smashed windows and broken glass, but...
Right, exactly. And for some reason, there's a full-size, like, C10 Chevrolet dump up there, like a dual-axle dump truck. And these kids have took it upon themselves to push it out of the fourth-story window. And,
okay, that's a good idea. I like that. That's something
Hey, I was a teenager once and bored, and I would gladly push someone else's dump truck out of a fourth story window. But first of all, the video came from the Wall Street Journal.
Well, you know, it's a credible source.
Well, that's true. Yeah, credible source. But in the video, the kids who did it said that it took them 4 months of planning and execution to get the truck out of this window.
Four months. That is absurd. Okay. I'm pretty sure I could have done that with like two of my friends in half a day.
And a jack. Case of Natty Ice.
With some beer and a jack.
I like how they blur out the people's faces to protect the stupid.
Yeah. At one point, they're jacking this thing up with a 3-ton jack, and there's one guy like who has like a hand on the back rear quarter, and he's like sort of giving it a half-assed push. And I was just waiting for the thing to fall on the kid, and miraculously, that did not happen. But yeah, I don't know okay. Whether the 4 months says more to the quality of Detroit workers or what, but
more to the quality of the Detroit school system.
But seriously, 4 months?
4 months. That's what the and you know it.
How?
You know it show it like right when they're saying that they're like stacking up a couple cinder blocks under the rear axle, and like it took us 4 months of planning and execution, and they're stacking up a bunch of like debris under the rear of the truck.
I didn't read the full story on the Wall Street Journal, but was that just happened to be sitting there up on the fourth floor?
Not just sitting there, hanging out of there. Like, it had been hanging out of that window for months.
Well, yeah. That is... I mean, I would have jumped at an opportunity that.
I know the Packard plant is abandoned, and there's a lot of people that go in and out of there for adventure.
Adventure?
Right.
No,
ghost
seriously.
Hunters or what?
No, like...
Looking for a prostitute?
Mean people go... I mean, the bums are in there for a place to get out of the weather, and other people go in there to photograph stuff, so... but it's like, how can you go in and out of there for 4 months and not have, you know, the cops don't roll by at least once?
Well, if we are talking Detroit, yeah. Well, not. You know, Craig, if you're really serious about wanting to push a vehicle out of that very window, in the video they show an old Chevrolet box truck in the background.
You know, I noticed that when I watched it.
So your dream can become a reality.
You think we could do it in 2 months?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell you what, you fly me up there, we'll get it out there in an afternoon, I promise.
All right, I'll get you an AirTran ticket.
All right.
You're going luggage class.
What's the spark that comes out of the front end when the thing hits? It hits?
I was trying to figure that out myself.
Battery?
I don't think it would have been.
They filled it with glow sticks. That's why it took 4 months.
I'm guessing it was probably just some heavy portion of the body coming against another heavy portion of the body.
Probably,
I mean, four stories is a long freaking way for a truck that size to fall. So
that truck probably weighs, what, about 12,000 pounds?
Easy. I mean, that's a lot, especially with that dump bed on it.
They're stacking cinder blocks on top of garbage, basically.
Yeah, 4 months of planning.
How many trips to the ER is what I want to know. They don't tell you, naturally.
Well, the big DMC hospital literally is around the corner from that place, so it's, you know, wouldn't be that big of a deal.
See, there's
I see your box van in there, the old Grumman. Yeah, Grumman box
like
van.
Like a Wonder Bread truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was many a rave there back in the day in the late 80s or
in the
90s.
Van or in the building?
Yes.
Yes, both.
Seriously, though, that video looks like it's made in a set from an apocalypse movie.
Look how professional it is. They have multiple camera angles, too.
It's true.
I told Craig I was sure this was from the shooting of Red Dawn that was going on in Detroit.
Yes. I mean, you look at the building and like all the glass is broken out of it, and it's apparent that it has been on fire at some point from that window. You know, there's char from that window.
You see there's a graffiti on the side there. It says Die Truck.
No, that's German. Die Truck. So, yeah, there you go. A couple of kids, maybe not so smart. Took them 4 months. But they pulled it off, Zach. They got it out of there.
They did. That's
an accomplishment. So our next story on our list here is an update. An update of a story we did, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, Ben?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. We had a story about a car wash where you would go to the wildlife safari.
What? Oregon, you're right.
Yes. The wildlife safari. You'd go there, you'd bring your car, and the playful pachyderms would wash it for you. Well, We have an update now coming via the LA Times, and it looks like PETA is not pleased.
If there's
with the
a bombshell.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they're not digging what they're doing with the elephants there. What did they say here? Let me see. The animal rights group wrote a letter on October 22nd that called the elephant car wash a gimmick that does nothing to foster respect for endangered species.
So, what's their point?
We eat animals, don't we, typically? So
most
how
of
is
us.
This? What?
Most of us.
Yeah, most of us. But I would love an elephant car wash. That'd be awesome. Go down to the Packard plant and get an elephant car wash.
The you Packard know, I think plant and get a car wash from a pachyderm.
Exactly.
Hey, I think on the grand scale of like elephant work or elephant employment, washing a car is a pretty sweet job. I mean, as opposed to like pulling giant
trees.
Slabs of granite out of a quarry or yeah,
in
trees
Thailand
down or being in the circus, you know. It could be worse.
Yeah, their natural predators that they have to defend against are, I don't know, arthritis?
Disease, yeah. Yeah, the group, being PETA, is particularly concerned with the elephant training tool known as a bullhook, or ankus, A-N-K-U-S, which is a metal rod with a hook at one end. Sounds brutal, doesn't it? But I like it. I like the line that the... I guess the zookeeper says, and I quote, "These are two-ton animals. You can't force them to do anything they wouldn't want to do." So there you go.
That's true.
I know. Well, it's hard to force dogs to do what you want sometimes, you know?
It's hard to make my truck do what I want it to do, and it's 2 tons, so I completely understand that.
Yeah. So, you know, PETA might shut them down. Who knows? If you're in the Oregon area... Get your elephant car wash before it's too late.
Your car covered in snot.
Absolutely. All right, our next story, keeping the trying too hard theme alive and well. Zach, you also found this one, didn't you?
Yeah, speaking of snot, so again, we're back at SEMA, and Toyota teamed up with about 5 different other corporations to bring a true monstrosity to life. They took a Tacoma, a perfectly good crew cab Tacoma, and added 4 Xboxes, 5 flat screen panel TVs.
4 Xboxes? That's totally sweet.
Oh, so cool.
It's green, too. Lime green.
Lime green. They took out the 4 doors and replaced them with 2 gullwing doors. The driver and passenger side seats slide out and back so that all 4 seats are in a row so you can game with your bros.
It's a hell of a rear view mirror you got hanging there.
It's true. Pretty incisible. There's a 60-inch flat screen TV that sits in the receiver hitch so that spectators can watch you and your friend's game.
Totally sweet.
Now, see, I could see that being a cool idea for like tailgating at a football game.
Sure. Well, Toyota also made a tailgating version with Brooks and Dunn, oddly enough.
You know, both,
nothing says country music like Toyota pickup trucks.
That's true. Well, these days.
That one and this Tacoma, I think we can say they both put the in Tacoma. They're bad.
The really confusing part to me are the 2 mountain bikes mounted on the bed cover. Like,
since when do gamers exercise?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty repulsive. It's lime green and orange.
About the only thing you could have done to make that thing worse is to put Lambo doors on it.
True. Although the gull wings...
There's nothing you could do to make it worse, Eric.
Oh, you could do lots of things to make it... I don't see...
If the wheels were gold or something, okay, maybe.
I was going to say, I don't see neon underneath. Oh, wait a minute, maybe I do.
Yes, you do.
No, there's neon.
A splash of green on the
I see on the floor there, yeah.
So, Ben, you are a serious hardcore gamer. What do you make of this? Would you like one?
Well, first, I'm not serious nor hardcore.
He's lying.
Anyone who plays the Wii, I think, is, well, meager at best. But
he's lying.
No thanks. It reminds me of a Nickelodeon slime fest.
It does. It's got the green and orange.
Exactly.
Yeah, the horrible orange.
Mud Monster seems to think this is better than the Porsche Panamera.
It took Porsche years to create. Took Toyota and West Coast Customs mere months. There you go.
Any idea when this thing's going to go on sale?
Hopefully never.
Hopefully never.
I don't know. Maybe I'd like to be on the launch for that.
Toyota's actually come out with some really cool trucks at SEMA, sort of design study kind of things or just prototype stuff. That is probably the worst thing I've ever seen them Toyota put out.
I love the license plate on this thing. My other car is a Warthog. Yeah. Super cool.
I thought you were talking about the actual license plate itself.
Taco ATG.
What does that stand for?
I don't know what
Tacoma.
That, Tacoma.
Well, what's the damn thing called? All Terrain Gamer. There you go, ATG.
There you go.
Yeah. Ben.
Tacos.
Give us your neckbeard voice, please.
My other car is a Warthog.
Christ.
I think he's pleasuring himself. But all right, I think that does it for the news hole here today. Anyway, let's take a quick break and hear a few words from one of our generous sponsors. After that, we'll move on to the segment portion of the show, where we'll talk about what we've been driving. Plus, we'll look at a new auto gadget that uses augmented reality, so you'll never forget where you parked. All that and a whole lot more making fun of Zach for being ginger. Coming up after the break.
Did you hear that? That's the comforting sound of my Safety Streak wipers with the patent-pending Safety Streak. That horrible squawking lets me know my Safety Streak windshield wipers are smearing away rain and road grime, giving me milky clear visibility. Don't settle for less. Just pay less and smudge away higher prices with Safety Streak windshield wipers. Remember, when you hear the shriek, you know it's a Safety Streak.
Gravy Train dog food makes its own gravy, but Safety Streak makes the best wipers. So keep that in mind the next time you need to replace what you've got on your windshield. So all right, guys, now it's time for our Blind Spot Story of the Week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. Tonight's story is all about creepy fez-wearing old men. That's right. We're talking about Shriners. So this story comes to us courtesy of the AP. It's from a few days ago, but I think it's worth doing. It's kind of funny or sad if you're a member of the Shriners. An Atlanta chapter, I guess. Is it a chapter, Eric?
I believe that's what it is.
Okay. A chapter of the Shriners is dealing with a big loss after thieves made off with most of their mini cars. If you're not familiar, the Shriners like to populate parades with weird-looking small vehicles. Zach, have you ever had any run-ins with the Shriners?
Yes, I have had. Yes. All right. So.
What did they do to you?
There's always a story with Zach.
Yeah, I know, there is, right? So, in college, my now wife and I had just gotten back together, and it was her birthday.
What happened?
What didn't happen was the question. We split up for about 2 years. That's not the point of the story, Craig.
Well, she...
Point of the story.
Wait, we playing Dr. Phil here?
Maybe we are. Point of the story is we decided, it was her birthday, we decided to go to Virginia Beach for her birthday for the weekend. It'd be nice, get away from school.
Very nice.
So I go through Expedia or one of those crappy travel sites, and I book a room on a hotel that's on the beach. And it's
so
a beach,
romantic.
Beachside, supposed to be. Well, we get there. Turns out the room is across the street in the section of the hotel that's like you open your window and you're looking at the parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not so romantic. We stay out, we have a good time. The next morning at 7:30 in the fucking morning, we hear a bugle blast and then the firing of a million two-stroke engines as the Shriners start parading around. There was a national Shriners convention in Virginia.
No way.
Honest to God.
No.
And they had all parked their damn trailers with their little crappy Shriner mobiles in the damn parking garage across the street. So they fired them all up, paraded all the way down to the bottom, went down the main drag there, turned around, came back again. It was horrible. It was horrible.
Why? You can't make this shit up.
I couldn't. Not if I wanted to.
So how many Shriners would you estimate were
that I killed
buzzing
or
around?
I have no idea. It was unbelievable. I mean, the place was packed.
Did it sound something like this?
That sounds a little better than a Shriner.
It did. All right. Imagine the first part of that, and then multiply it by like 150.
So you have this swarm of old men,
yeah,
in these awkward mini cars driving around.
Oh yeah,
how romantic for you and your now wife.
It was, and yet still she married me.
I'm surprised.
Did you get a refund from the hotel?
No, surprisingly enough,
or from Expedia for them lying to you?
No, got neither. Mm-hmm.
Did you at least get a pound of flesh out of somebody?
God, I wish I had. I gained a lifelong hatred of Shriners, which is a sad thing because they do a lot of good stuff for the community.
Do they? So, they creep me out.
Well, I mean, they, you know, help crippled children, according to that sticker you see on the back of every 18-wheeler everywhere. So, there you go. So, yeah. So, that's my story about Shriners. Shriners.
Do you have any Shriners
completely different stories.
No Shriner stories.
They never cornered you in a dark alley and
did things
to you.
I've been cornered by people before, but never by a Shriner.
Okay. Well. Yeah, according to the article, 7 of their mini cars were stolen. 7. Unlucky number.
I would steal those and drive them off a pier. I would do it.
And it says the thieves also made off with a dune buggy, an air compressor, and a large toolbox.
Well, two out of 10 things aren't bad, the toolbox and the air compressor.
Are you kidding me? That's like a redneck's fantasy right there. You have 7 tiny cars to race around with your friends on your farm,
mm-hmm.
and a dune buggy, and a toolbox, and an air compressor. Come on.
Totally sweet.
These guys made out like bandits.
Yep. And apparently, and I didn't realize this, but those Shriner cars are worth roughly $2,000 a piece, according to this article.
Woo!
So, yeah, I mean, that's not an insignificant investment to parade around in style, you know?
It's true.
You don't just have that sitting in your couch cushions. Mm-hmm. What's that, Zach?
Now you know where all your charity money goes.
Yes, mm-hmm. to buy stupid little cars.
You think it's helping the children. You're actually buying annoying little cars.
No, that will ruin a romantic weekend.
Exactly.
Okay, enough about the Shriners. As creepy as they are. It's time to move on to In the Garage. All right, I think I'm the only one that's driven anything this week. Eric, have you been in anything aside from a 93 Ranger?
I have not. I am about a month from getting another vehicle to drive, although I guess I will be seeing Michelle and...
at the Fiesta event.
Yeah.
Right? That's coming up.
Supposedly. I'm told it's in the invitations in the mail.
That they invited you?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. And, of course, I'm not even going to ask you, Zach.
Thanks. I'm really struggling to be a real boy, you know, a real auto journal. Maybe one of these days. I have my fingers crossed.
Right.
I'm studying real hard. We'll see how it goes.
This segment is called In the Garage, and you've had some, well... You've been doing some work in the garage, right?
I have, yeah. Both of our vehicles have been in for serious surgery within the past 2 weeks.
Oh, man. Well, what's the prognosis?
Well, good. Everything's going real well now. I've had both vehicles, you know, buttoned back up for the past, I don't know, week or so. Okay. And nothing's fallen off or fallen apart yet. So,
well, that's a good sign.
Yeah, last week at this time, I was halfway through replacing both axles and ball joints on our 2004 Subaru Forester 2.5 XT, and I worked on that after I got off with you guys till about 2:30 in the morning, and got that all finished, got the car aligned, and the wife's been driving it every day, no problem.
She hasn't backed into anything yet?
No, not a problem.
Oh, that's terrific. That's terrific.
It is.
So what was wrong with the Subaru?
Well, the CV joint boot on the passenger side split, and where that particular boot is located, it's right over the turbo manifold. Mm-hmm. And it flung grease and oil all over the manifold, and I thought that the turbo had died, which caused me a mild heart attack. Turned out that wasn't the problem. Got home, ordered the parts, but the parts took about a week to get here, so we were down to just one car for a while.
An international harvester or something?
That's right, 78 International Harvester, Scout Terra, most badass truck on the planet.
Wow.
Death-proof.
Well, I applaud you, Zach.
Thanks,
for your handicraft and getting your Subaru back on the road again.
Hey, I do what I can.
Hey, good job. So like I said earlier, I was the only person, you know, of our clique here that's driven anything this week. And I was in it's a pretty good car, I would say. It's the Chrysler 300 SRT8. It's got a lot of giddy up and go. Have any of you guys driven it before?
No.
I've not driven any form of a 300.
Never. Well, I guess I'll just be talking to myself then.
Well, of course I was in it.
Were you? Oh, I didn't know you were in it.
Yes.
Oh, well, what did you think of it, Ben? We'll start off with you.
If you recall, I called you after having been in it. This is like one of the only cars that's caused me to call Craig and say, wow, what is this car doing that makes me love it so much? Now, don't get me wrong, I really dislike the styling of the vehicle, but just the power and the sound.
Mm-hmm. It does sound really good.
It just blows me away. I mean, I just wasn't expecting it at all. I know it's an SRT8, and I didn't know that when I got in it, and so that was part of the surprise factor. Just stunning, like, burble that comes out of that engine. I just loved just putting the pedal to the metal on that.
Yeah, that's why when I got it, it needed fuel, so thank you. Appreciate that.
Well, there's a Costco just down the road there.
I'm not a member.
What?
What?
You know that the gas at Costco is usually like 10 to 15 cents a gallon cheaper than your regular place.
Well,
I know you fancy corporate people and your corporate gas cards, right?
We don't have a gas card. There are six of us here. Right, Ben? Six?
Ish.
Six and a half.
Yeah, close enough. Whatever. So, yeah, back on topic here, the SRT8 Chrysler. Excellent sounding engine. I mean, it's quiet when you want it to be quiet, but when you open it up, it's got this really throaty rumble to it.
So are they still... There's a company called Corsa Exhaust that's out of Cleveland, and you basically just stole their advertising line from them.
What's that?
Quiet when you want it to be, loud when it needs to be.
Oh. Well, there you go. I'm that good.
Or they're that bad.
Ben.
Take your pick.
Yeah. You're quite surly tonight.
Well, you know.
So which engine does that one have in it there, Greg?
It's a 6.1 liter Hemi, which, if I recall, has 420 horsepower.
That is a lot.
Yeah, it moves.
That is what, 10 less than the Corvette?
That would be correct. That is 430 base.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I do like the 300 quite a bit. I think it has, I mean, the car's been out for what? About 5 years now, has it been?
And hasn't changed since?
Yeah, and I think it's still sharp-looking when you see it out on the road. And especially when you have the SRT8, which has the has a mesh grill to it and some much bigger wheels. It's good. The interior is a little bit of a weak spot, but, I mean, it's not awful by any means. It's probably the best Chrysler interior that's out there, I would say. I can't think of a product off the top of my head that they build that would be better than the 300 for interior quality.
What's the price tag on that one?
Ooh, it was
44,000.
Oh, I thought it was like 50 something.
No,
how much? 44?
Yeah, I believe so. 44, 45.
It's not too bad, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
but if you had $45,000, would that be the car you bought?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
here's a question. I mean, I'm not getting this till end of January next year. But what's an SHO Taurus? Isn't that like 42?
38. It starts at about 38.
So. And I would much rather have the Taurus over
exactly.
Yeah.
Would you? Why would you rather the show over the?
Well,
five
I like
years newer.
Well,
there's that. It's 5 years newer. From what I've seen of the interior, I really like it. I like the exterior. The V6, the twin turbocharged V6 is fantastic. The transmission's pretty sweet, and it doesn't do too bad on gas. So
No, it doesn't.
Plus, it's a freaking show. Come on, you know.
That's true. That's something you never thought you'd see coming.
Show.
Back.
Do you get your custom plate that says NUFF?
I would, in fact.
Enough. Show enough.
Show enough.
Show enough.
Oh. Ha ha.
Sure enough. Show enough.
Show enough, yeah.
All right. Oh, boy.
Nobody? Nothing?
Yeah, where's the sad trombone, man?
In your pants.
Yes. Don't make fun of me. Just because I have difficulties.
Oh, crime.
Oh, God. Is it that late already?
No, actually, it's not.
Michelle,
well, because we started on time, or damn near on time.
Exactly.
So, hey, can't be that bad.
Can you get all-wheel drive with a 300C and the 5.7?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
I think you can.
And actually, if I were spending $39,000 of my own money, what would I buy?
You wouldn't get another Ranger?
No.
Ranger Edge, maybe.
I'd buy about a 2-year-old Boxster S.
See, I'd like an old M3 BMW.
I'd buy an S.
Wait, do you want the original 1988 with the 4-cylinder and the 16-valve?
E46. The last version, Gen with
the
straight
one before
six.
This one?
Yes.
Okay.
The E46 is my favorite BMW body style of all time, I think.
Actually, I have a friend in Chicago who's got the original, like, late 80s.
Oh, yeah? With the 4?
The 4 and the big wing on the back.
Cool.
See, that's hot. I would much rather have that car.
Yeah.
Actually, what I always dug, I only ever saw like three of these things ever, but were the 16-valve Cosworth Mercedes 190s.
Mm.
Those were cool, too.
True.
So, all right, that'll do it for In the Garage, I would say. But now it's time to move on and do another electrifying edition of Auto Gadget. And Ben, Mr. Sanders, our resident tech geek here, will be spearheading this segment tonight. Isn't that right, Ben?
Yes. And I'll actually attempt to do...
He sounds so unenthusiastic or disgusted.
I'm just to the point, Craig. Yes, I'm doing it. That's it. We don't need any polish on it. It's like the way you like your auto shows. Cars, carpet, that's it. Maybe a logo to tell you... You know, this is Chrysler, that's GM,
no, you don't
Toyota.
Even need a logo. You just demarcate
it
by the color of the carpet.
You're right. I'm sorry.
There's no need to be over the top here, Ben.
Mommy and Daddy are fighting at the dinner table again.
Yep. Mommy hit Daddy. Or wait, no, the other way around.
Okay, so our auto gadget this week is an augmented reality application for the iPhone. So it's iPhones only. But... some of the coolest applications that are coming out right now for the iPhone are augmented reality applications, which means they take the view from your camera and they overlay graphics and stuff based on the internal compass, based on the GPS location, that adds additional information. It's like a heads-up display, but it tracks objects and stuff. This particular app is called Car Finder. And it really has one very simple purpose. It's only 99 cents. And the purpose is to be able to find your car when you come out of the mall or the grocery store or whatever, when your car is lost in a sea of vehicles. So
there's a commercial for Audi in here, isn't there? Wasn't it where you drive because there's a sea of Lexus?
Oh, that's for the Q5. Oh, yeah, the kid gets out of school.
And it's a sea of Lexus RX.
That's right. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And he still can't find his car?
Yeah.
But anyway, so you launch the app when you get out of your car. It brings up a button that says, I'm parked here. You click that button that says, I'm parked here. based on the GPS, it will put a marker there at that point. And you can add additional notes like, I'm in 1G. But if you add that, I mean, what's the point? So who bothers? You save it. And then when it's time to get your car later, you grab your phone, you launch the application again.
Yeah, there you go.
And
a little higher. Yeah.
What you won't really be able to see it here because I just marked the computer that I'm sitting at as my car. But you'll see a little floating car icon where your car is. So, and wherever you turn, you'll see the parking lot, you'll see this little car icon, and it works pretty well. I mean, there are problems with the GPS occasionally. I mean, GPS, depending on your signal, isn't terribly accurate. So it can be off by as much as 100 meters, I think the application says. But, I mean, generally, it says, I'm in that row. You get closer.
It gets you close. Yeah.
Right. It gets you close enough.
Yeah.
So we're going to see a lot more of these augmented reality applications come out, and it'll be nice as phones get better and have better GPS and stuff. The accuracy of these things will improve.
Yeah.
But
so basically, I mean, it's a little hard to demonstrate sitting there. But
exactly.
What you would do is hold it up, and the camera would be showing you like you're looking through the camera on the screen, but then it'll actually point you in the direction of where your car is basically what it's doing. It's kind of like a compass.
Right. It puts a little marker.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you were in a video game and you were in the red team and your friend was on the green team and he's got a little green arrow pointing down on him. It's like you've got a little red circle pointing down to your car saying, there's your car.
Mm-hmm.
And you just follow it and hope you don't get hit while you're
look
staring
both ways
at your phone.
Does it have a disclaimer for that, by the way, when you install it?
You know what? There is a giant disclaimer that I just buzzed through, and I wouldn't be surprised.
You cannot sue us if you die.
There's right. Another asshole like me out there who aimed for people who were staring at their phones as walking through the parking lot.
I remember coming back to the airport and going to pick up my car in one of the big, like the orange lot or something at Metro, which is just this like 8,000 acre thing of parking lot of cars. And some lady had forgotten where she parked. So we drove around in the van that took you from the terminal out there for like 15 minutes. And she kept pressing the button, looking for the lights to flash on her alarm or something, because she couldn't remember where she parked. And I'm like, okay, I always wrote myself a note and, you know, where I could get to it and have it for when I came back to show exactly what lot and where I was, just, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But and I can see where something like this would be perfect especially if you were, you know, you traveled a lot or you flew in and out of airports a lot and were in parking and stuff like
Although
that.
Although the particular case you mentioned, that's the downside. This is where this app wouldn't work. You wouldn't be able to get a GPS signal inside of a concrete parking garage.
Well, no, because at Metro they've got the, well, I don't know if they have many more, but
they
it wasn't
like
in
repeaters
the,
or?
It wasn't in the big blue structure. It was like the big lots that they have on the facility.
I guess I'm not familiar, but I always just park off site and get shuttled in.
Yeah.
But I guess it's cheaper that way. I don't know.
Yeah, it goes back and forth.
Well, in any case,
yeah,
this is liable not to work in a parking garage, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
And
could
so,
you could also use it to tag other things, right?
This is true.
Like your car keys.
Right.
Or
they'll be in a 100-meter radius of where you tag them.
Yeah,
so
right, it's somewhere
roughly
in your house.
The disclaimer on this, every time you launch it, is the GPS on your phone can be off as much as 100 meters at times and gets even worse when used indoors.
That's more than 300 feet.
That's right. The better GPS the better the GPS accuracy while setting your location, the better your results will be. Car Finder is meant to be helpful, not to replace common sense. Keep your eyes in front of you and pay attention to your surroundings while walking. I understand.
So I wonder how...
So Craig, do you think they're going to have this on your Droid phone for you?
Droid phone?
Well, see, you don't like Apples and you don't have an iPod. You have a Zune. And so I figured you'd continue
this
your Apple hatred
then
from having an iPhone to having
Apple.
A Droid.
I don't hate Apple. I just
detest them. That's
I
all.
I just don't drink the Kool-Aid. That's all there is. I haven't been won over yet, I guess. See, I had an iPod Nano. Well, I still have an iPod Nano. But iTunes was just such a pain in the ass to use. At least I thought.
It's because you have to buy into the entire ecosystem.
Yeah.
As I've told you time and again.
And they wrangle you in there. They get their meat hooks in you. Right?
And then you have PETA after that.
Yes.
Exactly. I'm laughing at Warhammer. He said, I thought the iPhone was supposed to replace common sense.
Well, thank you for the auto gadget, Ben. Is it worth the 99 cents?
Well, considering we only purchased it this afternoon, I haven't had time to use
Ben,
it in a
real... you're destroying our credibility.
Oh, I mean, yes.
You've tested it rigorously, right?
Just go over to Costco tomorrow or something at about 2 o'clock.
I really don't even have to tag my car.
It just oozes class. You can't miss it.
You could tag...
You just look for the Apple sticker on the back, right?
Mud Monster wants to know what credibility we're marring here, since we didn't have any to begin with.
Zing.
Ouch. That one hurts.
Yeah,
that was real deep there, buddy.
Right there. Okay. What's the next thing, Ben? Ah.
I think you have a...
Highway hearsay. Tales from the open road.
Highway hearsay is all about what we've seen out on the road, from weird sightings to the stupid things people do. I guess I'm the only one that has a highway hearsay this week. It's not much.
Today's the first day I've actually left the house, so yes.
You shut in.
Well, technically, it doesn't have to be on the highway, but...
It could be on the internet, I guess.
Now you know.
The internet highway?
Yes, information superhighway.
Information superhighway. Exactly.
What about you, Zach? Have you got anything?
Nothing too impressive that I can recollect at the moment.
Yeah. Mine is kind of weak. And unfortunately, I was unable to get a picture because I was driving, and it's generally not good to...
You're not Brenda Pridley. You can't drive and take snap pictures at the same time?
No, not that good. Sorry.
That's what she said.
But, again, that was several
weeks
ago.
What happened to the show? We had a good show.
Yep.
Now, everything was...
Boat Anchor Tritco is dragging us down.
Good old Boat Anchor Tritco, that's what we'll call him.
Nickname from high school, right?
No, I had other ones.
Well, it'll be chair, come on.
Boat Anchor Tritco and Cars and Carpet Craig.
Oh, I hate you, Ben.
Hate you back.
Oh, great. All right, so I was driving home, coming
talking
up I-75, and I get off at University Road, which is essentially the crossroads for the Chrysler headquarters in Auburn Hills. So as I'm getting ready to get off, I'm maybe a quarter mile from the exit. I look over to my left, and in the next lane, these two cars go by. There was one that was white, and there was one that was red. At first, I thought they were Citroens, because they kind of had this avant-garde look to them. But they went blowing past me, and Ben has found a couple photos. One is from... the Chrysler press conference we mentioned earlier, and another is from an old Chrysler concept that they had, I guess, at Detroit. So I'm thinking what I saw was the next generation Dodge Charger, but I didn't get a good look at the cars.
So to be clear, this was before the press conference.
This was a couple days before that.
Occurred on yes. Wednesday.
I might actually have a video of that if you'll give me a moment.
Please do. When I saw the cars go by, I noticed that the hood, there wasn't much of a grill on the cars. The hood came down very low and met with the bumper almost flush, so kind of like an old Intrepid. They had put black electrical tape over all the badges. You couldn't see anything. But I think it's the new Charger, but it's hard to say.
For those of you who aren't seeing this... and just listening to the podcast, it's a commercial from Australia from about 1970 of the Chrysler.
I love the music.
That's it.
Hey, Charger.
I'm getting in the car's
face.
Oh, you
are. Hey, Charger.
This is very 1972.
That's exactly.
guy pulls up next to the charger in a tea bucket.
Oh, they got it wrong.
There's a bus full of screaming girls yelling at him. Construction workers giving him the thumbs up. Wow.
The unbelievable Charger.
The Dodge Charger.
Sorry, it was an Aussie commercial from the early 70s. It's hilarious. There's a whole series of them from Australian Top Gear from last season. So,
say, Mud Monster, did you ever get Windows 7 yet? I just upgraded over the weekend. Big difference, I must say. Good stuff.
Well, back on topic with Windows 7 Cast.
I'm engaging the chat, Ben, right?
You know, I'm curious about Windows 7, but not curious enough to continue to derail the show.
Okay, back on task.
That'll be
yes.
one of our extras. We can talk all about Windows 7 after the show. How attractive was this car you saw, Craig? Do tell.
Not terribly attractive.
No. You said it looked like an Intrepid, which terrifies me.
Say again?
I said you said it looks like an Intrepid, which that terrifies me.
The front
me.
End. Just because there wasn't much of a grill. The hood came down really low into the bumper, and from what
there's,
I can see...
There's nothing good about the Intrepid's design. I mean, absolutely...
It's cab-forward design, Zach.
Pains me. I'm sorry. That's all I've got for it.
Did it not look attractive because it had all the usual vinyl and covering all the stuff covering it? Oh
they
my
were
God!
Uncovered. They're uncovered.
Oh, sorry, I missed that. That looks like a Camaro front end with a Dodge 4-bar grill in it. The front end, the picture that Ben has up right now.
What is that, Ben? Is it the RT concept?
This is the 99 Charger concept.
Okay.
The front end of that looks like about a 88 Camaro.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd have to agree.
It's kind of homely. The grill is so square and the body is kind of curvy. But yeah, I think what I saw was the next Charger. Hard to say. But the back end was flat and it had these kind of hockey stick-shaped taillights that were all LEDs. And other than that, that's all I saw.
Glucker says it's the production version of The Wraith.
That was another movie that Craig hasn't seen.
Nope. I haven't.
No, you're not missing out.
1987, 1988, Charlie Sheen movie?
Something like that.
Kind of like a fat chick, Mud Monster says.
That's good. That's just
Ben, can we
precious.
Go home now? I'm done for the night.
As soon as you do your clothes, Craig.
All right, fine.
And I don't mean laundry.
I'm going to say, does he have some folding to do? I'm curious. It's
ironing. I hate ironing. Great job as usual, guys. Except you, Ben. Eric, thank you for joining me in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks for making the drive from Dearborn. We appreciate it. Anything you'd like to plug?
Well, I've been talking about it for the last couple of shows, so I guess I have to say it officially. It's on the newsstands now.
Okay.
Go pick up the latest issue of Road Racer X.
Hold it up for the camera so the podcast listeners can see it. Yeah, Road Racer X magazine. They got like motorcycles in it or something.
Josh Hayes is on the cover, and if you go to pages 58 through 62, you will see my article.
Which is about?
Two very good Canadian road racers. One who's 18 and has the potential to be a future world champion. The other one who's was good, had some issues, after making a comeback and trying to step back up onto a bigger stage.
Okay, wow. Good stuff. And Zach Bowman, thank you again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know the routine.
Yeah, so you can find my stuff at autofiends.com, blogs. .webridesTV.com and
what?
New for this week, exhaustnote.com.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah. Dude's got more websites than I do.
Shablam, I'm everywhere. Yep,
you're
so.
Like swine flu.
I am like swine flu. Spreading my horrible disease everywhere I go. Maybe that's syphilis, I don't know. No, Exhaust Note was started by Tyrone Rodriguez, if anybody out there in the auto world knows that cool cat, and we're trying to get its sea legs under it. So there's a bunch of posts, just short and sweet stuff, and there should be some pretty interesting features on the way.
Mm-hmm. What's the website again?
It's exhaustnote.com.
That's pretty easy to remember.
Exhaust Note is something very... No, you're going to Exhaust Notes, or I am.
And that's a porn site. Don't... No, I'm kidding. The site's really well put together. Tyrone seems to really know what he's doing.
Hey, Ben, maybe you could get some pointers from him on our website, you know?
Okay.
That was unnecessarily hurtful. We were all positive, and bring us down there, Craig. But, stop by, check it out. We're doing our best to try to be a one-stop shop with a lot of aggregation and links to source articles, so should be good.
Well, that's terrific. We'll have to check it out.
Isn't that special?
Yes. Can I finish, Ben?
Can I
repeat last week's show?
There's our own Zach Bowman there on the right side.
Where? Let's see.
It uses Gravatars, so if you comment and you've got a Gravatar account, it'll put your little picture up there and all that business. So,
look at all that ginger goodness.
You look about 12 in that picture, Zach.
It's because I look 12. I can't help it.
Well, go do heroin or something. Age yourself a little bit. Come on.
Get an awesome scar or something. I don't know. I have a young-looking family. I can't help it.
Lastly, I'd like to thank our producer, Ben Sanders, for making this live broadcast and, of course, the edited podcast possible. Ben, thank you as always.
I happily say you are welcome, Craig Cole.
You sound
Craig
like...
Cole. Craig Cole. My voice cracked a little there.
Oh.
Mr. Haney.
Oh, boy.
Remember, visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, for more great content throughout the week, including links and show notes. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or criticisms, shoot us an email. Just swing by the site and click on the email button in the sidebar. If you're feeling really ambitious, you can even suggest story ideas for upcoming shows. You can also follow us on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/roundaboutshow. And to make sure you never miss an action-packed episode, subscribe. Just search for Roundabout in the iTunes Music Store or on the Zune Marketplace. Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then.
The show has crashed.
Yes, it has. You're doing so well. You're selling.
We got to focus on getting this thing down to a half an hour. Then we can just, you know, ride that crest and we'll be done.